troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-hosts Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. The Watchman Weekly can be found at watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, audience. Tonight, we're going to do a synopsis and carry on with a little of our Joel Chapter 2 study. And I just wanted to say thank you, audience, for all your comments. Thank you for your support and your studies. Please post any studies that you have. It's very encouraging for us. And with that, I'll... good evening, Bill.
Good evening there, Bob. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here tonight.
Yes, praise the Lord, but we're here another night.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a disruption in our schedule last week with the busyness of summer, but we're here tonight, gathered together and just excited about what the Lord's going to do.
And it was a good thing. We all had time to study, audience, study the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in doing so, we're still ongoing with our thousand-year reign study and putting the context of Scripture upon Scripture for that identity. And in terms of... Bill, would you like to give maybe some new members of the audience a synopsis of the thousand-year reign and the outlay versus the man-fleshly doctrine of millennial reign?
Yes, the 8,000-year reign in Scripture... the term 8,000 years has nothing to do with 1,000 years, and it certainly has nothing to do with millennial reign. What happens is, we might get the right words for this. Different people can look at the same verse of Scripture and come up with very different interpretations and the meanings of that Scripture. And a lot of times it's really not even their understanding. It's something, a seed that was planted in their line a long time ago from Hal Lindsey or from Tim LaHaye or from Cyrus Schofield. Things that were never even heard of in Christianity 200 years ago. And the hardest one it seems to get past is the millennial reign. And, you know, a person's perspective is based upon various reasons. You know, it could be their denomination that they belong to, their religious thought that they've formed in their mind, doctrines of men, traditions of men, preconceived notions, or even a cherished lifestyle. And they'll want to make the doctrine fit one of those things that I just mentioned there. So the Scripture, you know, tends to be examined in the light of the individual's desired outcome. Now, this is why they didn't know Jesus when he showed up. He wasn't what they particularly desired, and it wasn't what the traditions of men have taught who Jesus was when he showed up in Jerusalem. And Well, they, you know, so they rejected that Jesus. They didn't really want that Jesus. They wanted another Jesus that they had formulated in their mind over centuries and centuries of traditions of men. Obviously, they wanted a great conqueror to conquer Rome, but they really just did. They just really didn't like Jesus. They didn't want Jesus. I'm talking about the religious establishments.
And all through Scripture, Bill, they have never listened to the prophets of the Lord.
Oh, right. They hate the prophets, right?
They hate the prophets.
Even
the
though they claimed we would never have stoned them like our fathers would, but...
they are of the devil.
They're stoning the prophets right now.
Absolutely.
All those prophets... Yeah, they're stoning the prophets in the Old Testament still today.
And just as a synopsis before we go into current events, audience, the premise that we're working with is that the Lord is reigning right now. And as we study the scriptures in our generation, we're finding that the great falling away is far more advanced and may be at the end, where we're entering a little season, that the church, all the churches, and it doesn't, it's your corner church, the Pope's church, any church, is telling the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ upside down. And in that recognition, we have definitive scriptural understanding of who the serpents are that are having a field day with the corporation churches. And their attributes, they spew venom to blind you, they strangle you, they bite you, they poison you, and they kill you. And then we have the identification, excuse me, of the scorpions that lie in wait for you, and when you're walking by and you're not shod in the full armor of God, they sting you and they kill you. Now, these are all metaphors and samples, analogies. And when we are discussing a Bible study such as we are now, we're talking about the meat of Scripture, that we're told there's a famine on the land, and the land, and it's not a famine fleshly, it's a famine for the Word of God, this gospel. When our Lord Jesus Christ tells us through this gospel, in understanding the mystery of this gospel, to come out of her, that is a spiritual identification of the world. It could be likened unto, an example of this is the reign of Babylon in Scripture. So you have a king of Babylon that was good and then he went bad. And then you have recognition of spiritual Egypt. So all the applications of Moses, spiritual renderings of the Exodus, and the plagues of Egypt come into play in our generation. And then you have the remnant, the people that are studying this gospel and have the understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ, because they know that they have to repent of their sins. They have to follow the Lamb wherever he goeth, with a circumcised heart, and you understand that you're to do the will of the Lord, and you're not to listen to men, period. You need to study yourself approved for this. The Lord Jesus Christ will send the Comforter to give you confirmation that you can do the will of the Lord. But no man can see this. No man can see a circumcision of a heart. So people that are doing good works are likened unto, we had a pre-show discussion, Chris, climbing in the windows, the thieves.
Yes. Yeah, we're just trying to bring out this understanding the Lord is, bringing us as we, we work our week, we're all busy, with our lives as far as, our day-to-day, and, especially now with this summer, we're a little, I've got responsibilities and things like that. We've been kind of disjointed the last couple of weeks at this time when the most amazing understanding and is coming in at the same time that the events, you know, taking place in our political and religious theater are all just confirming these understandings that the Lord is showing us. So it's been a little, I don't know if it's frustrating, but, you know, it's going to take us a couple weeks, folks, to get this stuff out, because it's so huge, it's so rich, as these prophetic books just meld together. You know, Joel, Ezekiel, Habakkuk, you know, Daniel, Isaiah. It's just absolutely astonishing as we pick up on this understanding that we've, you know, these words that we've been reading are here, you know, we've heard for years, and now that the Lord is just bringing, you know, bringing understanding, because it's the time. You know, we really believe that this is the end. This is the end, and as it said in Daniel, you know, go that way, Daniel. These words will be sealed till the time of the end. And the most amazing thing, it just, I cannot get over this, as I see, you know, Joel, as the three chapters in the book of Joel are one of the most detailed accounts of what we're seeing taking place right now, as the religious machine, you know, the Babylonian harlot religious system has, you know, risen to power. The beast that was not, and has ascended now to where the, you know, we see the exact replay of the religious system at the time of Christ has now, you know, risen back to power. And at the time of Christ, you know, Jesus said that they knew not the hour of their visitation. And, you know, we see this exact scenario replaying again.
And it's all scriptural, audience. It lines up with the prophecies of Daniel. No one's ever read Joel's chapter 1 and 2 with the metaphors defined and the applications to your own generation, but we were admonished to do that throughout Scripture. All of the prophets are telling of the coming of the Lord, His first advent, and the second. This is the everlasting covenant. Now, the applications, when we're saying a thief, you know, the thief hung on the cross with our Lord Jesus Christ. And a thief is someone that will take something from you. He'll come into your house through the window.
And that's
your house.
That's what verse 9 says.
Yeah, and we're going to go over that, audience, but you, if you're new and you don't understand what we're talking about the truth of Scripture versus the apostate teachings of the churches. And we're going to go to a very simple parable, the leaven. Audience, throughout Scripture, leaven is a bad thing. It always, and this is how we're told to study. No jot and tittle will be changed. The weight of Scripture tells you that leaven's a bad thing. And the corporate churches are teaching leaven is a good thing. But we're told by our Lord that'll be happening. They'll think it's a good thing. You're supposed to know that it's a bad thing, because you have a circumcised heart, because you sought me, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Scriptures say. You come unto me, is what our Lord is telling us. And when you do, you will fear the Lord. Because when you see this spiritually going on, you are told that, you know, at the end of the apostasy comes a little season. And as far as gospel truth goes, I can assure you, audience, that there's very few people that understand the metaphors and analogies and examples of the prophets, because no one's studying this. It's a very small base compared to the world populations. Bill?
Amen. Yeah, it's the little season. You know, that's the bottomless pit that's opened. It's just quite obvious. It's the Great Tribulation. It's the time when Satan is allowed to go out and deceive the nations again. And you know, we were speaking there on the millennial reign and the apostasy of the millennial reign. And of all the study that we've put into this in the last several months, the single one verse in the Bible that you cannot drive through, there's no way you can go through this with a bulldozer. You can't go around it is Revelation 21:4. Revelation 21:4 puts a complete, it just shuts the millennial reign down. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. So there's four things listed in that verse 21, verse 4. This is when this new city, Jerusalem, comes down. This is the return of Christ. If you have a millennial reign before that, you're talking about sorrow, crying, more pain, and more death. And I don't see how you can get past, you cannot get around Revelation 21:4 with the physical future millennial reign.
Bill?
Yeah. That was all I wanted to say as far as, you know, if just go in and really look at that verse in Revelation 21 and examine it. I just don't see how it's possible that there's a millennial reign, and it just can't happen after Christ's return.
And the apostate church audience is preaching a millennial reign where they think there's a second chance and our Lord's coming back and he's going to rule and reign and they're going to be under the Lord and they're not going to have to worry about, you know, the people that are bad because they can't get in. And what the apostate church doesn't understand is...
First of all, it's dispensationalism. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there, Bob.
That's all right, Bill. Go ahead.
Well, it is dispensationalism. It's a very subtle form of dispensationalism. It's no surprise that this term was coined by Cyrus Scofield. Everybody runs around repeating this millennial reign. They don't know they're just repeating what Scofield, that he was the one that coined that. And also, it is a form of reincarnation, which is, there's no revolving door. There's no second. It's given to a man to die once. Paul said, I forget where. I think maybe it was in Corinthians. It's given for a man to die once.
That understanding and all the scriptural understanding tells you, audience, right now, if you understand the very basics, if you could pull that since the churches are preaching that leaven's a good thing, and you were told that there will be a great deception, and you don't have the proper renderings of the very basic Matthew 24 Olivet Discourse studies, then you're outside the understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you're standing naked in the valley of decision. And this is what you have to understand. It's what our Lord says, not any man says. It's what the scriptures say. It's the gospel. And to them, it's different. To anyone that's not seeking the Lord, that is not in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, that hasn't a circumcised heart, that isn't seeking to do his will, that is told like the woman, the prostitute, sin no more and go. They are relating scripture differently. They don't understand what's happening to them because they think they're doing works, but the Lord does not know them. He says, come out of her, the harlot system of the world, Babylonian, Egypt, as in samples. Don't mingle. Don't mess around. Get your stuff and get out of the house. Get out of your house and come unto me, our Lord Jesus Christ, and be his vessel, his temple. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, in understanding the cross, audience, anyone that seeks to diminish the works of our Lord Jesus Christ truth of this gospel is the enemy of the Lord. But his enemies are also his creation. So he's going to use his creation for his judgments. And his judgments are that if you're not in covenant with me, and you're not doing what I told you, then you're going to be a vessel of wrath, and you're not even going to know it. But in being that vessel of wrath, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be running to and fro by the devil. Satan's going to run your life.
That's right. Now you're talking about that diminishing his work on his finished works on the cross, and the millennial reign actually diminishes his finished works. Repentance is the door to salvation. Repentance and faith. It's taught all through the epistles, and now you're creating a second way to be saved. You're actually diminishing you're diminishing the covenant. If you'll go through the four Gospels, you'll never find any teachings of a future millennial reign ever by Jesus. If you search through the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, Apostle James and Jude, you will not find any teachings of a future millennial reign. None.
And if you're not understanding this and you haven't studied your self-approved, enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ and follow what he says. So that the scriptures, the gospel, isn't diminished in you. This is an individual basis. But on a greater scope, to see the mystery of the gospel come alive in your generation, where you have people that are just selling. Our current events would be economics tonight because of this governmental global fiasco, but they're all lies. We're told there'll be men storing great wealth, and boy, there are. And we'll be told that the gospel will be likened unto being darkened, and it is. And that preaching of our Lord Jesus Christ in the church will be overturned, and it is. But you have a solution, audience. You have a solution in this gospel. And that's what we're preaching, is read the gospel. And when they tell you to read something else, don't do it. And understand the parables and study the parables.
As soon as you start going outside of Scripture, you start getting into trouble. Everybody that I have seen that wants to go outside of Scripture to start proving the Bible, I was just listening to one last night about the millennial reign. And I'm not going to rail on anybody or whatever, but they were telling you all about the millennial reign and what was going to be going on during the millennial reign. And all of this stuff comes from books outside of Scripture that they bring back into Scripture, and they want to mingle to derive at an answer that they've created somewhere in the caverns of their mind.
And the caverns of their mind are blind. When our Lord Jesus Christ healed the blind, the lame and the sick, you know, all of these healings are metaphors. Because now you were blind because you were in the church, and you came out of the church, you came unto our Lord Jesus Christ, and he healed you. And you can see this in Scripture happening in your own lives. And a definitive answer to what's happening in the world today is that the entire Scripture is being fulfilled, but no one knows it because they're not studying it. They're overturned. Chris?
Yeah, it's this is how they're getting away with what they're getting away with. Because people haven't, they've been trusting these false prophets for the last 20 years. I mean, longer than that, but we've just really seen the devil really, dig in over the last 20 years with his program. Because, the field, he just had his preparation that came about. And we've identified the false sense of prosperity that the baby boom generation has basically grown accustomed to, even to the point of, come to the fact that they're entitled to this prosperity that we've realized since the end of World War II. Well, we see that this is the reign of the Pale Horse Kingdom, is what we've seen. And it says that the false prophet will corrupt the covenant with flatteries. And we see this is what's happened. You know, the church today has been corrupted. The people in the church have been corrupted with false teaching. And subsequently, they have forsaken their heritage, which is a real big theme in the book of Joel. You know, you'll see that all through Scripture, but very clearly in Joel, they have forsaken their heritage. They have forsaken the covenant, the everlasting covenant that God made with them. And now, you know, the richness of the teaching that goes on in these books of the minor prophets and all through Scripture is the everlasting covenant that was confirmed by Christ. You know, Jesus confirmed the covenant, it says in Galatians. He didn't confirm a new covenant, or he didn't make a new covenant. He confirmed the covenant that God made with Abraham.
It's past tense also.
But, you know, Abraham, we're all Abraham's seed. The New Testament church, if you will, which you know by now that I have a hard time even saying that word anymore, because the word church has been so misconstrued as the true rendering of Scripture. But the church is Abraham's seed by faith, and ultimately Israel. We are all Israel. Israel are people who are in covenant with God. You know, New Testament, spiritual, Old Testament, physical. But ultimately, Old Testament was actually spiritual too, when you really get down to it. But this is the key, and this is the point, and this is what's going on today, and this is the heart of the apostasy. Because of this, because Christians have forsaken the covenant, and they've, the land has become desolate, because the apostate church is basically doing what we're seeing taking place here in Joel, and the Lord says in Habakkuk that I will do a work that if I were to tell you, you wouldn't believe. And then he says in Isaiah 28 that it'll come to pass in the last days that the Lord will do his strange work, his strange act. And as these weeks go by, you know, as the Lord's just revealing this stuff to us, I'm just getting a hold of it. I mean, I'm just driving my car, and this stuff just starts, you know, it just keeps sinking in deeper and deeper. And I'm just realizing what an incredibly amazing thing that this is. The way that the Lord has designed his end time program, in the fact that he takes his very church, the house of God, basically turns against itself. This is what the Gog-Magog war is. This is the battle of Armageddon. The battle in the valley of Armageddon, where the multitudes in the valley of decision are gathered. You know, we see the account here in Joel of the Lord gathering all these people. This is all spiritual, and this is all happening in your corner church, as Bob says, often. And we have to see find our place in these accounts in Scripture, because that's what the key is to understand the identities as we go through these texts. It's so critical and so cryptic and so tricky, if you will, and on purpose. The Lord made it that way because this is how he's controlled it. He's controlled his word and who he reveals his truth to, because only the people who love the truth are the ones that get this. You can't figure this out. You can't go to seminary and have somebody teach this to you. This stuff has to be revealed to you spiritually by the Father. You know, this is as Peter's confession to Jesus was revealed to him. You know, this is the rock that the church is built upon, and this is the rock we have to approach these deep, deep meanings of Scripture here. And tonight I want to just give a comment on Joel chapter 2, picking up where we left off last week, and then from here we'll just continue on with a synopsis the rest of the night, tying it into Ezekiel. But there's a portion of Joel right now that I really want to drive home to the listeners. And I'm going to start off with Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, with and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And this is what Bob was just talking about, the gross darkness that's come upon the people. And how does Joel chapter 2 start out? Blow ye the trumpet of Zion, and sound the alarm. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people, a strong, there that there has never been before the like, neither shall any more after it, even the years of many generations. And this is where we got into last week. This is what has been termed Joel's army. This is the army that God raises up to come against his people in the church, in the apostate church, to draw them to repentance, to restore the years that the locust has eaten, as we saw in chapter 1. And we see, Joel chapter 2, verse 5. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to tie it into some current events right now, real time, happening, today, that will, if you can follow and track with us here, my hope is that it is as astonishing to you as it is to me. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, they shall march every one on his way, and they shall not break their ranks. And we talked about that last week, how Bill and I both had a visual of what that means as far as the understanding of how the locusts fly in unison and, essentially cover the sky with you can't even see the sun. And Bob was talking about the plagues earlier. This is a direct tie-in to the plagues of Egypt, the locusts, the swarm of locusts that blocks out the sun, that blocks out the light. And this is what we have today on the land. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk, every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. And here we see, an account of men doing it their way, climbing into heaven their own way. And as Satan said, he will sit upon the mount of the congregation. And with that account of Joel, I want to jump to an email. I'm on these mailing lists of these ministries. I got this about, I don't know, probably 6 weeks ago. What was the date on this? It was, give me 1 second here. It was May 27th, so it's been a couple months now. Here's a book that we've got this, we call it the switchboard of this New Apostolic Reformation, the Latter Rain, Joel's Army sect of apostate Christianity. That, let me tell you what, folks, they are open for business. And as we see the Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, who is basically a Georgia. W. Bush clone. He took over for Bush when Bush, became president. And he's a globalist boy that you can see them grooming, for a possible run at the presidency. And what we're seeing here is, he's warming up to the Christian right, and he knows if he's going to do that, he's got to go after both camps: the Dominionists, the Joel's Army, Seven Mountains camp, as well as the Christian Zionist, John Hagee, Christians United for Israel. And we see, and I'll make a reference now, on thirdgreatawakening.org, the Beast Watch page, there's a couple brand new links to some current articles concerning this, as we see Rick Perry gathering the Christian right for this final move, we believe. This is it. This is it, folks. This is it. And as we see this thing progress, it's going to be very interesting how it all transpires. And not that any of us are going to stop it. but we're going to find our place in it, because that's what God calls us to do. He calls us to find our place in this and be sure that we pray to be accounted worthy to escape. But this is what's happening, as the Lord is using his own apostate church to come against his true remnant, as the residue are trampled underfoot, as we see, you know, the account in Daniel with the iron and brass and iron and miry clay. You know, the clay is the remnant that is trampled. We've made a reference to the cheek teeth in verse 1 of the lion. And Bob, you know, picked up right on that. What do you do with the cheek teeth? You grind them. You grind to powder. You know, and this is all references spiritually that are upon, you know, God's people as they're ground down and they're refined as fire. You know, there's two parts are cut off. A third is brought through the fire, as we see in Ezekiel. But I'm going to read this. This is all I have for this tonight. But this is an account of what we're seeing real time as these deceived Christians, powerful men in the world. You know, this is absolutely an account of the beast and the false prophet. The woman riding the back of the beast as the corporate harlot church is in lockstep with the one world religion, one world government, New World Order beast system. And these people are completely deceived, and it's all for God's purpose. Because I'm going to just read this right now. Why? Because Revelation 17:17 says, "For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled." In Ezekiel 38, which is another big part of this scripture, that it's all talking about the same thing, the Gog-Magog war, 38:9-10, "Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm." There's the tribulation. "Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land." There's the darkness. "Thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought." And this is the Lord accounting of his account of this army that he is raising up for his purpose. And I'm just going to read Paul L. Cox promoting his book, and it's called it's about the mighty ones are coming, as he is aligning himself with this army that are the bad guys. This apostate Christian organization is aligning themselves with them, you know, all in deception, not knowing that they are fully carrying out God's purpose. "I am often riveted by what I see in the Chronicles of Narnia movie series. Many of the scenes in this film mirror what the Lord has revealed to us about the spiritual world. I was especially struck by a scene in the Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian. At the end of the story, Lucy had gone to find Aslan."
Lucy?
Yeah, Lucy.
Boy, he's got a Marcus turf everywhere he goes, doesn't
he? Yeah, and that's
right in their face. They go to a Freemason show when the devil's put his signatures on it, and this is where they're getting their spiritual bread from, this guy.
Isn't that something?
Boy,
and
amazing.
And it says the Turkish name for a lion, that's Aslan. I've trekked with this stuff. You know, my kids have read this stuff. It's only been recently that I realized the occult nature of all these C.S. Lewis stories. This is where we are. You know, we're just working away at this, one step at a time. I've got my one daughter, off of the Harry Potter. I'm happy with that. But to help in seemingly hopeless battle that was taking place against the enemies of Narnia, in a calm manner, Aslan says, "It is time to wake up your old friends, the trees." I was stunned, for this is exactly what the Lord had shown us sometime earlier about spiritual beings that look like trees, specifically cedar trees. These entities are called the Mighty Ones, and it appears that they are now being released on the earth. Consider these verses in the book of Joel in the context of the day of the Lord and the pouring out of the Spirit of God on all flesh. The Mighty Ones are mentioned. And he just continues on.
Wait. He continues on for $19.99 to buy his book.
Right.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, well, that's going to be... Well, what he's doing here is he's giving the account of what I just read to you in Joel out of the King James. He's got it in the New King James, of course. And he's aligning himself with this group, with this army. and the army that climbs the walls and climbs into the houses, and they enter
that's
like
what
a
he's doing right now.
And that's what he's doing
what
right
he's,
now.
He's doing it as climbing into the houses of the unprotected Christian babes out there.
Exactly, and that's exactly what is happening.
There is good news, audience.
This
is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, to understand this. Because you're also told what you're to do in covenant with our Lord God and His Son, Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel 14, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all the transgressions, but they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. Now, that's the weight of Scripture, audience.
That's the church, the house of Israel.
That's the Israel of God in the Spirit.
Exactly.
And it's scriptural. Go ahead, Bill.
No, you go ahead, finish.
We are told that this battle is not with anybody. Okay, the battle is for your mind. The battle is for your salvation. And you're being hunted down at every twist of your remote control, twist of your radio dial, your remote control, your neighbors, your families, your friends. Satan wants to ensnare you in any possible way. And the analogies of beasts and the analogies of plagues and the analogy of kingdoms give your generation the proper rendering of Scripture. It's a little different in this generation. Whether it be 100 years that our Lord comes, it does not matter. It matters today. It matters that you're seeking the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him reveal to you the gospel's truth. Because we can see from what Chris just, that short synopsis, is that a man is likened unto a thief, and that thief is not only preaching one of the biggest selling books in history, one of the biggest blockbuster movies, but every movie that comes out now is like that. And Satan wants your children. Now, if the entire apostate church is likened unto a body of bread that has been leavened, and it leavened the whole lump, and I can assure you, audience, if you've studied your scriptures and you go to your corner church or any church, you're going to be astonished how bad the lies are. But this man is a thief, and he's identified as a thief.
Well, he's of a reprobate mind.
And on a different level, we're told in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, this man is wickedness. He's likened unto a serpent. He's likened unto a scorpion. And he's coming after your children. And he's deceiving a great multitude of people. And that great multitude of people is part of the army of the north, that are likened unto a charging army coming in spiritually to destroy any truth that is left in the world. Bill?
Yeah, that's right. They want to destroy any truth that's left in the world. Paul addresses these in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not working in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully.
Like that guy's doing.
That's what he's doing. He's handling the word of God deceitfully. working in craftiness. And you'll notice one thing that they all have pretty much in common is that whatever doctrine they're reading, they just turn it into a literal flesh reading.
Yeah.
So this man and then the other apostate New Age groups, what are they, a couple million people in that,
what, the New Apostolic, you mean?
NAR.
Yeah, New Apostolic.
Okay. NAR, I don't know how large NAR is, but, boy, there's a danger.
Between it and the dispensational camp, with those two melding together, because we know that they must join. The Dominionists and the Dispensationalists.
Question.
The Christian Zionists. Because all this thing is all Israel-centric. And you'll see that common thread of apostasy. As the ultimate manifestation of forsaking your heritage as Israel, they're all supporting this fleshly race of people in this land in the Middle East. As this is the kingdom, absolutely the false millennial kingdom, which is, the lie that Jesus will establish his kingdom on earth. This is what they're doing. And they've got Christians believing it.
And Chris, let's expand a little bit on Gog Magog in terms of just a short, the new members of the audience, that they understand that there's two Gogs and Magogs. Now, the popular teaching is that there is, under a millennial reign, during Armageddon, and our Lord comes, and he comes and he reigns for 1,000 years and sets things right. Well, that's a lie, audience. It's just a flat-out fallacy. And the truth is that our Lord will come like a thief in the night, and his angels are the reapers, and when he's here, every knee will bow. Yeah, that's scriptural. But he's here for great white throne judgment. He's here to divide the goat from the sheep. He's here to take away the sin of the world. And Satan is ruling this world. And it's likened unto being surrounded by an army, and they're coming in to just kill you. But spiritually, you see this coming, you're armed in the spirit, and the Lord is fighting your battles, because you can't survive this war without the Lord. You will be tossed to and fro by Satan. You'll be sifted. So you're armed in the spirit, and that understanding is because you studied, you're self-approved, and sought the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody will tell you, no, you read my book. You get my DVD and I'll tell you what's going on. Well, it's the Lord that tells you what's going on, not man. And if you don't understand this, pray for our Lord Jesus Christ to enter covenant with you to do his will. Because the rest of it is so scary that you just have no idea. It's like an end to plagues. But they're all coming true. Babylon is here, audience, right now, reigning and ruling. The Babylon is likened unto running the whole show, and you're in captivity no matter where you're at, and you need to take back the land, and you need to sin no more and go, and you need to understand this scripturally, because you're told to study yourself approved. Brother Bill?
Yes. They're all looking for a different church than the one that was described in Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And, Jesus, when the Holy Spirit was poured out 50 days, that's grace number 5 times the perfection number 10. You had the arrest and the trial of Jesus on the 15th, 16th, and 17th. He rose in the morning of the 17th. He walked the earth for 40 more days. And then after that came 7 days later, which made the 50th day, which brought Pentecost. And the whole church is described, the perfection of the saints is described in
verses 38 through 47. There's 10 verses in the last 10 verses of Acts chapter 2. And that is the perfection of the saints. That is what the church is. And today, every manifestation out there is in total opposition with those 10 verses.
Currently, right now, the sun is being blotted out. The sun is representative of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reflection of that sun on the moon, the church, is blackened out. And when you see these events happening in the sky, it's a metaphor, audience.
And the stars have fallen from heaven. You know, those stars are where they... fallen away Christians. You know, the great apostasy that fall away at the end of the world.
Which is where we are right now.
It's where we are right now, yes.
And, you know, in the way that this understanding of the thousand-year reign has just cracked open so much for us over the last few months, and now that we're on this Gog-Magog war, and you know, piecing the lies together with the truth, making sense out of the brainwashing that we've all been subject to for so many years.
But interesting, you know, as it is, Chris, what Bill said at the in the pre-show, audience, even though the apostate people that you talk to, who the Lord has great, great compassion on, and will resolve all of the problems of the people that are circumcised, when you hear their talk, it goes two ways, because the word is a two-edged sword. So you will hear pearls of wisdom from the various apostasies, because they don't get this. They get part of it. You, audience, you get it all, because it's given freely. It's given by our Lord Jesus Christ, not by us. And when you're told that the books will be sealed until the end time, well, I can assure you I've never heard anything like this in my life. This is the most amazing. If they told me in advance 4 years ago that this was going to be happening, I would have said, you're absolutely out of your mind. But to study the scriptures for 4 years and understand this is the most remarkable tale that I have ever could possibly imagine, and it's a gift of our Lord to see this. Chris?
Yeah, and it's the fact that we've been indoctrinated with this notion that the millennial kingdom is a future kingdom after Christ. You know, it's his earthly reign, and this is actually, you know, Satan's really one of his ultimate masterpieces in that, I'll read a quote later on, in that this is an absolute... The deception is just so great, so deep, deeper than you could ever imagine. You know, I that's the thing. And that's, you know, I've said it many times before that, you know, Christians, the big mistake they make is, one, they fail to even consider the depth of deception Satan's capable of, but then they also don't realize the fact that God allows every bit of it, because this is God's mechanism that he uses to separate out his flock, because his flock is not deceived. You know, his sheep hear his voice. You know, the threshing floor that separates the wheat from the chaff is the deception. And the deception is the thing that you either get caught in the snare of it or you are free of it. And the only thing that gets you free of it, that can keep you free of it, is the love of the truth. Because when you do love the truth, God gives it to you freely. But we see, we see Revelation chapter 20, Ezekiel 38, Joel, all tying together the same thing in different accounts. And that in Revelation chapter 20 verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and bound him 1,000 years. And see, this took place at the cross. This took place when Jesus defeated Satan on the cross, cast him into the bottomless pit. But the rapture cult, dispensational camp, will teach that this is taking place now at the end of the age, and that the 1,000 years is going to continue in an earthly reign of Christ with another God Magog event at the end. When in fact, we see this reference to Satan being bound. You know, he deceived the nations, which is, you know, the deception that took place before the gospel. But the gospel has restrained Satan. The gospel has imprisoned Satan. But now, at the end of the age, in that we see clearly after the time of, 1947-48, we've done so much work in that area, as we see the whole pale horse, diverse fourth beast kingdom manifest in that, in the work that began in this period of time has ended up today, you know, in 2011, where the true gospel has been completely diminished, and that we are in a famine, not for bread or water, but for hearing of the word of God, as it says in Amos. And this is what happens when men have forsaken the gospel, forsaken their heritage, forsaken the covenant, and it's given Satan reign, because Satan, he's been running the show from his prison all through the church age. But now at the end of the age, you know, he's been released, because we see this account, you know, verse 7 says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, which is now, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And this is where we are today, as we see, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Here we are. We are, you know, we're compassed with armies today, real time. The true remnant church is completely surrounded by the serpents and scorpions. And this is all taking place inside the house of God. And let me just finish up with Habakkuk real quick, Bob, and then I'll turn it
absolutely
over to you.
Absolutely, Chris.
Habakkuk, verse 1, chapter 4. Therefore, the law is slacked, and judgment does never go forth. For the wicked does compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. And this is what we have today. See, judgment. There's no judgment in the church. There's no discernment. There's no... The church has completely stopped doing its job. It has become the tree of Babylon, where the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field have found refuge, and it's gone completely apostate. It's completely leavened, but we're seeing what the Lord is going to do, because in Joel chapter 2. All these things are all referring to the same thing, the Lord's work. He says, before behold, among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told to you. And I'm telling you, this is what it is, and we're seeing it as the Lord is raising up this army of confessing Christians who have forsaken their heritage, forsaken their birthright, stopped studying to show themselves approved. You know, what a note there is there with that guy with that book I was telling you about. I don't even know if that's a book or if he's just calling. He's got a whole bunch of stuff. It's just calling it to his ministry. But it's, of course, he's quoting out of the New King James Version, you know, which has got the occult symbol on the cover, you know, which is absolutely part of the apostasy, as the Lord has allowed, this to happen, in that the Word of God has been diminished, where we've got these modern translations who have absolutely changed the text of Scripture, changed the meaning of Scripture. The rich, deep meaning that we find in the King James has been completely compromised by men who are climbing in the windows, doing it their own way. They know better. They're climbing into heaven their own way. Just like Cain did, you know, and it's the same principle that's been going. We've been in this Gog-Magog scenario all through time, but here we are in the ultimate end of the age, the Gog and Magog battle, is the fact that the church turns against itself.
And this may be a little bit of a long discourse, audience, but bear with me and have the understanding of how Scripture is revealed. Matthew 16:17. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for the flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. 2 Corinthians 3:14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which is done, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from the glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, this is very important in what we're talking about, the famine on the land. This is the famine for the word audience. It is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world, and that's a small g, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:16, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Finally, audience, Ephesians 1:17-20, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he hath wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Audience, that's revelation happening right now, when you can identify a false prophet as a thief, and then you can identify him as a serpent or a scorpion, as a briar or a thistle, because you're applying all the proper metaphors to Scripture. In the fact that you can do that is what the Lord is revealing. Bill?
Absolutely. I'd really like to reflect a little bit on what Chris was reading from Revelation chapter 20. It says that he had bound him 1,000 years, Chris?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to see this in Matthew chapter 12. I'd like to start with verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. So right there in front of everybody, the blind and the dumb, they both gained their eyesight and they could speak. Somebody that couldn't speak, now he's speaking. So he performed a miracle right in front of him. Present crowd there. And all the people were amazed. This was probably a mixture of multitudes and Pharisees, Sadducees, whatever. And said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow cannot cast out devils by the Beelzebub, the prince of devils. So they're accusing him of casting out devils with devils. They're saying, well, he's got a devil. How can he cast out a devil? And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. So we're talking about cities, you know, kingdoms, cities, houses, right down to the individual himself. You know, that's two factions of evil. If you're divided, you can't stand that. You know, that's the two parts cut off. And then he goes on to say in verse 26, and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall his kingdom stand? And if by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, there shall be therefore they shall be your judges. You talked about there's no judgment or anything, Chris. There it is right there. He says these are the ones who are going to be your children's judges. And verse 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. That means the kingdom of God now. Here's the big one, verse 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house, spoil his goods, except first he bind the strong man, and then he spoil his goods? Remember, he says that he was bound for 1,000 years. There it is right there. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And there it is. That was the binding right there. He's speaking of it.
Amen.
It is amen. It's unbelievable, audience. This is absolutely, as the scriptures say, if you were told this, you just wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe that the serpents and scorpions are running the churches because they look like they're shining light. They look good on the outside, but they're dead on the inside.
Bob, they're running the internet websites. They're running the Christian bookstores. They're running it all. And
I wanted to get back to that. You know where you want to find your King James Version Bible, audience? They're in the dollar bins at the
Dollar Tree. Yeah.
Dollar stores. Go get them and pass them out because they're going to be gone. They may not do another version. This famine is on the land, and if you don't have a proper Bible, the proper gospel, you cannot fit the analogies and examples in a New International Version this or a Slim Fast that Bible or this Bible or that Bible. They just don't work because they've taken out the meat of Scripture. So you're starving. You're likened unto a starving person. But not
you
only
get a King James now because they might consider it an assault Bible as this thing progresses.
Yes, it's and audience, forget the flesh and blood. Forget the economics that's going on. Forget the top of the pyramid and go to your house and get your house in order. And the way to put your house in order is to seek ye him, our Lord Jesus Christ. Period. There's no more after that. Because this is when you're told that this is so sobering news that if you look at it, you're going to see how bad things are. And I can give you an analogy that's not scriptural, but it's the way things are, that you are in the Battle of the Bulge, you're behind enemy lines, and there is the nonstop shelling, and there is nonstop killing. Period.
And you know, we see this, can I just give you a quote real quick, Bob?
Sure.
John D. Rockefeller Jr., would that I had the power to bring to your minds the vision as it unfolds before me. I see all denominational emphasis set aside. I see the church molding the thought of the world as it has never done before, leading in all great movements as it should. I see it literally establishing the kingdom of God on earth. And see, this is it. This is what they're doing.
That was the whole theology behind this baloney millennial reign. They're going to advance it and advance it and advance it, see. Once they get established in your mind that there's a millennial reign, then they can advance to the next step.
And it's because of that
King James Bible, the diminishment of that Bible, because Bob is right. That King James Bible is probably the most dangerous weapon on the face of the earth against this power that I just read about, the globalists. This is what they're doing. They're trying to beat Jesus to the punch. They're trying to set up their kingdom of God on earth, which is pure Antichrist.
Right. He's speaking, worldwide, global universalism.
Amen.
And that's the thing, audience, about Scripture, is it doesn't matter what's going on out there.
That's
it
right.
Doesn't matter that they're doing all this. Okay, because you're...
It's all in vain.
It's all in vain. And they're dead. Literally, they are dead. They will die. They will be resurrected for judgment. That's it. Now, this is not a soft, fluffy gospel. The truth of Scripture is, hey, you are at war. You better think like you're at war. But you're also at peace. My peace I give to thee.
And now this fire out of the mouth and this burning and stuff, it comes in a way that man cannot see with the flesh eye. It's like you said, they're already dead. That doctrine that David Rockefeller was speaking there is dead. The people that are promoting it are dead. Seek ye the Lord and be raised up into the kingdom and find the grace of God and repent and be reborn again for the remission of sins. And this goes even to David Rockefeller. He's still breathing. But you know, when you say they're dead, this is exactly what happens. You know, when they were burning William Tyndale at the stake, they thought they were killing William Tyndale. It was the fire out of William Tyndale's mouth that was condemning them and spiritually destroying them. It comes in a way that man cannot see this.
Unless you be born again in the Spirit. This goes back to Nicodemus, and that analogy is that, you know, Nicodemus couldn't grasp this. The top Pharisee of the land was coming to the Lord at night because he didn't want his Pharisee palsies to see him. But he knew he was of God because of the miracles. So Jesus gave the proper way for him to understand what's going on is you won't see this unless you're in the Spirit. And if you're not, you know, this is a battle against sin, audience, on one level. And it's the battle of you sinning versus what Satan's telling you to do. So it's told as an analogy through our Lord Jesus Christ that sin no more and go. Okay, but you're also flesh. And Jesus said, no flesh is good. Why do you call me good? No flesh is good. But the spiritual understanding of this audience tells you exactly what's going on to prepare yourself as a vessel of the temple of the Lord, a lively stone, and not a millstone, and not a stumbling block, and not a smooth stone. Do you understand the analogies I'm bringing up? Is because if you study yourself approved, you understand this. Now, don't.
Well, Chris, we always talk about the road signs, Chris.
Yeah.
This is so comical. They're looking for Satan to be bound when he's actually going to be cast into the fire.
Yeah.
They're looking for him to be bound, and he was bound up 2,000 years ago. And now he's being loosened.
And, you know, I don't know of any better scenario to show the state of depravity in this society than by these movies. And, you know, once in a while, I went and rented a movie last night, The Green Hornet. I loved that show when I was a kid. This movie is the most disgusting, pitiful, evil, just awful, you know? And then, not to mention the previews of the new, one of the new movies there. I'm out way out of touch with all this stuff, so it's such a shock. But the movie was a funny movie about a guy who went out and picked up girls. He was a single guy. He picked up girls by having a fake wedding ring, you know, and he seduced women that were drawn to the fact that he was married. And, you know, there was a whole movie about that. You know, just this complete and utter blatant attack on family. And it was presented as like a family, like a fun new movie that it's a must see for this summer. And it, just, you know, and the thing that I cringe about is the fact that how many people are disturbed by it. You know, far too few, that's for sure.
Right. There's no more morals. Okay, no, you can start casting out, it's me first, society, and that's told. Okay, that's as wickedness as comes upon the land, likened unto an army coming upon the land, that battle analogy of World War II transfers to another analogy. That these serpents and scorpions are coming out of the desert right into your town, right into your house, and they're just eating, and are they're biting, they're stinging, they're doing everything they can to kill you. Okay, and you're to tread on these serpents and scorpions, these doctrines of demons.
Yeah.
Because somewhere along the line, audience, you are a temple of the Lord, and you're going to help somebody be freed, a captive. Someone that's in Babylon that the Lord sends you to specifically to bring them out of Babylon and bring them on to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because this isn't over by any means. We don't have a little season definition. In 200 years, little season could still be going on. But in our generation, we're to do the will of the Lord. And that's to follow our Lord Jesus Christ wherever he goes. And we need to talk about forgiveness, gentlemen. Repentance, forgiveness, and the understanding of our Lord. Why did he forgive everybody? For they knew not what they do. It is the Lord's judgment. It is not your judgment.
Amen.
It's not us pointing at the churches and saying, hey, you're bad and your bake sales are bad and this is bad. You know what? I don't want to get a judgmental attitude on anyone. I want everybody saved. I want everybody in the Lord Jesus Christ's glory. But that's not what Scripture says. It says, this is the truth. There's tares everywhere. And there's very little seed, very little remnant that are studying this to understand this. And these great armies that are blotting out the sun, the moon, and the stars, they're upon the face of the earth now. And you need to prepare your house and get it in order now. And you need to seek ye him. Bill?
Amen. Yeah, we don't want to cast judgment on anybody. We don't want to be pulling up tares. But we do want to expose this apostasy and these false teachings and these false prophets that are spreading this perversion of the gospel. It's just total perversion of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Matthew chapter 23, I believe it was, when Jesus woed the scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites eight times in that chapter, the eight woes signifying that they had completely fallen away. He didn't send the multitude away, and he didn't send the disciples away. He wanted them to stand around and watch this. He wanted to expose their hypocrisy. And that's where the church is today. I mean, it's in total hypocrisy. The woman at the well, if I'm not mistaken, this might have been the only place that he revealed himself. And he said, I must go through Samaria. That's fishing in muddy water, fishing in dirty water. He interacted through Samaria. And while he had sent his disciples away for food, he came upon this woman. We all know the story. He had asked her if she was married, and she said, I had five husbands, and I'm not sure with the five there how it has to do with grace, but it has something to do with grace. And then she said she's with a man now, number six. That's a man, number six. And that's an identity of man's fallen state. She was living with a man that she wasn't married to. And, of course, we know that Jesus becomes her husband, number seven, spiritually. But Jesus revealed himself because the woman actually showed honesty there. Jesus asked her, and she told her, well, I was married with five, and then I'm married to a man now. And that's what he's looking for. You know, a hypocrite would have tried to hide that. A hypocrite would have tried to deceive Jesus there. And in verse 26, he tells her, he says, verse 25, the woman saith to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And then in verse 26, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So he actually revealed himself to that woman. And she left her water pot and went back, and she became a disciple of Christ there, going back into Samaria and telling others. She didn't go start up a church. She didn't go... Even his disciples didn't teach there. In fact, his disciples were kind of, well, why would you talk to that woman? She's a heathen. But she was being honest and forthright and not being a hypocrite. And Jesus revealed himself there. You know, he came for the sinners.
Because it's revealed that, you know, they're not going to know what's going on. They're blind. Only the Lord can heal this blindness. Only the Lord can reveal himself to his people. And we're told in such a time as this, pray that you're not be deceived in audience. That is the truth of Scripture.
If you think you can't be deceived, you already are.
Not only that, it's when you study the Scriptures, you have to get the weight of Scripture. We can't come out and just spout off and cut and paste Scripture.
Absolutely.
That's woe unto us. But the revealing of Scripture, even in the small part that we're given, is a remarkable tale. And just to have the understanding that there's ministries that are preaching that Joel's army is a good thing, and that they're mighty men, is an indication of the time that we're in this generation.
Where Isaiah said that, woe to you, call evil good.
Because they are the most evil thing that will deceive anyone, because they're all flesh. They are absolutely have no comprehension and are totally blind to the spiritual renderings of Scripture that tell them that they're so wrong. Because they're in it for the money. And if you are the temple of the Lord, you've already cleaned out the money changers. You don't need anything except a Bible. You don't need to listen to anybody. You don't need to do anything.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit will guide you to all truth.
And there are edifying sites out there, audience. They're hard to find, and we have links to them. But when we say we have links to them, the only link that we'll preach is our Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. The rest is to study thyself approved, because not everybody's right. Chris?
Including us.
Yeah.
Including us, audience.
There's things that we, you know, I mean, I've found many times I have, you know, misunderstood something. And these prophecy parts and stuff, stuff is pretty difficult. And sometimes, you know, we'll start letting our own will carry us, and the Lord has to bring us back and guide us and set us down. And it's where you trust no man, and Holy Spirit will guide you to all truth. Even if you don't have a Bible, you sit and pray to the Lord or to the Father and repent and get down on your knees, and he'll send the Holy Spirit and guide you to truth. If you don't have access to a Bible, even he'll put it in your heart.
It'll be written in your heart. It's proper reading of Scripture.
As we see this, we're absolutely in perilous times, folks. Whatever, you know, I'll always be of the mind that we're a lot farther along than anybody even thinks. I mean, it's all ever happened. That's all that I go through continually.
Isn't that the story of the road signs anyway, all along?
Well, it sure is, Bill. And I'm talking in my own life as far as I see how long this thing is. I say, how much worse can the apostasy get? That's what I say. I can't imagine it getting any worse. But,
they're,
you know,
sure,
I could be wrong.
Worshiping, yeah, they're worshiping Nebuchadnezzar's statue, that's for sure.
And because everybody's so nice. The people in the church are so nice, and, oh, he's so nice, and his wife is so nice, and, you know, but, what, you know, it's just, it's so twisted today.
Cunning hunter. Satan is the
cunning hunter,
right. For your soul, audience. Okay, this is a soul. This is what they're coming to devour. This is what the birds, the fowls of the air, are coming to devour this, to eat the meat, the
flesh.
Yeah,
it's funny you make the reference to the cunning hunter, Esau, because that's what it all gets down to. This whole thing gets down to that. The battle in Rebekah's womb, which is the struggle between the twins, Esau and Jacob. And Jacob,
right.
We see the signatures of the born-again church, the spiritual church, the church where a natural man understands not the things of God. But we see all the efforts in the apostate church, specifically this Christian right beast harlot that is rising to power, is all focused on flesh, fleshly solutions to these spiritual matters. And, this is the heart of the apostasy, as we have to interpret the scripture spiritually and understand it's a spiritual understanding and applying it to our lives, to our spiritual lives. Because our flesh, our natural lives are going to, you know, vanish, but our spirit will live on in eternity. And it's, this is God's kingdom. You know, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, because it's not. It's of the spirit realm. And the only way that you can get this stuff is you got to be emptied out of all your fleshly desires, your pride. You have to, you know, the principle of purging the pride from our house. Well, our house is you. You know, our house is, the miracle we were talking about earlier about the blind men that were made to see. Well, that was a signature of a spiritual circumcision right there, because circumcision, you know, the foreskin is a symbol of blindness, and it's significant of the flesh, you know, and you're dying to the flesh so that the spirit can live. And, you know, we're here in this earthly realm, struggling, you know, against thorns and thistles. It's not easy, but we have to approach the scripture with an attitude of wanting the truth, a love for the truth, and when we have that love, God gives it freely, gives that truth freely, because it's really likened to salvation. You know, one of the major aspects of salvation is believing the truth and abiding in Christ, abiding in the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. Abiding in Christ, abiding in the vine, is to be abiding in the truth. And if you don't abide in the truth, if you don't love the truth, you're cut off. You're a branch that's cut off. And can it be grafted back in again? Yes. I'm here to testify. I've been cut off a couple times through, you know, seeking my own desires, my own will. You know, like James Lloyd says, Satan doesn't convince you to do his will. Satan convinces you to do your will. And that's the deal. You know, we're to submit our will to the Lord. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's talking about God's will. God's will is to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is it being done? No, it's not. But is God's will being done in your life? Well, that's what you have control over. And, I daily pray and seek the Lord's will for my life. What's my assignment, Lord? Here I am, Lord, send me. And that's the attitude we're to have. And when you have it, the life is just amazing. It's just absolutely wonderful. It's peace and joy. And because it's not based on anything fleshly. It's not based on adrenaline or, you know, excitement. It's based on truth. And it's based on stability and a pure love for the Lord, you know, and that's what it's all about. And I highly recommend it. And with that, I just turn it over to you guys, and I, you know, appreciate the listeners running with us and all the support we get, the emails and love. And I want to, you know, reciprocate that love back to you. And encourage you to keep on keeping on.
Brother Bill.
Yeah, so we want to encourage the listeners to keep on keeping on. Yes, we greatly we love all of you out there, and we've been blessed very much just to have listeners. And it's a joy to read your emails, and we learn from you. It's kind of a two-way street. We're all in this. Guy on the red-green show used to say that we're all in this together.
Yeah. Well, it's the one another's. It's the dynamics of the word one another. It's a reciprocal pronoun. While I'm encouraging you, you're encouraging me. That's how it works.
Yes.
It's awesome.
And audience, we'd like to thank you for listening. And I bring up Revelations 11:1. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. In the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, audience, you are the temple of the Lord, and it is the Lord who is measuring you to do his will, to be ye a holy temple, to hold the living water, to understand the scriptural truths revealed through our Lord Jesus Christ who came in the flesh. May God have mercy on your souls. This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. Good night.
Tower to fall.